chapters 9, 10, and 11, remember the whole context is about Israel, talking about their privileges, how they forfeited the privileges, where they stand in the present, where they'll stand in the future. So Paul is explaining all of this so people have no questions about God's word coming to pass and to whom he's talking to. Okay, we stopped at verse 22. Let's just go back a minute. We talked about God hardening people last week and showing mercy to whom he'll show mercy. And we saw this did not begin with God. God never hardens people until they begin to harden themselves toward him. You'll see it's a reaction from God. And he gave Pharaoh as an example that even though God, by the time God had brought Pharaoh to be king, he was completely hardened. And even though God warned him, he would tell Moses he will not repent. Well, see, but he didn't get to that place overnight, like many people did not. So God was simply saying to us that he has a right with individuals and nations to extend his grace if he chooses, and he has a right to harden them if they fight him. And he's done both to many people. Remember we said last week he showed no mercy to Saul because he tried him 6 or 7 times. And then he sent an evil spirit to him. And when he sought the Lord, God would never talk to him again. And he died demon-possessed. And this was a man once anointed of God. God wouldn't talk to him no more. Pharaoh was similar. The children of Israel. God said, I tested them 10 times. He did signs and wonders and saved them from the Egyptians and everything. And they kept rebelling. And one day he told them to go into the land, start moving. They said, we're not going to do it. And they made all these excuses. And God spoke. And he said, okay, not one of you will go into the land. You will wander in the wilderness 40 years until you're dead. And the next day they changed their mind and said, we're going to obey God. And God says, but I haven't changed mine. And Hebrews said, he raised his hand. God said, and I swear in my wrath they will not enter the land. See, they played with God's grace. And you just don't decide how you're going to mess with God. And God waited 40 years from all the drop dead. And he took their children that grew up into the land. See, people don't dictate to God. God can turn his grace off when he's ready. Ananias and Sapphira were struck dead by the Holy Ghost and did not have time to repent and went to hell. And the church respected God. They say, hey, you don't lie to him. You don't mess with him. God has the right to take wicked people and backsliders and make examples of them if it suits him. He doesn't owe anybody anything. He owes everybody justice. But he does not have to extend grace. And many times he doesn't because people keep fighting him. And that's why he hardened the Pharisees and the religious leaders of Jesus' time. And they couldn't understand him. And that's why he preached in parables so they couldn't understand him. It was a consequence of the rebellion. Yet he took the simple people and opened their eyes. He hasn't changed. See, that's the danger. So he's simply saying down in verse 2, what if God, wanting to show his wrath and his power, well, he has the right to do this. He endured with much long sufferings the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction. He gave the perfect example. He raised Pharaoh up to be king of Egypt. And he raised the vessel of wrath up. He had already hardened Pharaoh's heart to a great degree. And he could have killed Pharaoh years before. But he says, no, I'm going to make him king. And I'm going to demonstrate my power and deliverance to my people. See, that was his right. Like I say, anyone in this room shows us that God has been patient, long-suffering, because you're not in hell when you rebelled against God. See? But some will be if they don't continue with the Lord. And many people in hell are vessels of wrath. But it don't mean that God planned this from the beginning. It means they reaped what they sowed. And the people in hell are sorry. And the people in hell are repentant. And the people in hell would change their mind, but God ain't offering them nothing. See, that's the danger. See, everybody will see the truth, but that will not change them in the end. See, that's why the horror of God's wrath, it means he takes vengeance upon those who sin against him and oppose him and reject his offer of grace and mercy, then ultimately that's how God will answer them. Okay, so he's saying that all sinners are vessels of wrath. See, even Jesus Scripture said, for God so loved the world, he said, that he gave his only begotten Son. Who's the world? Sinners. But God was saying, I have a loving attitude. What is that? It simply means I have no malice toward them. I would that they turn and change. And people always stop there. But Jesus keeps talking. And he says, but those who don't receive me, he says, the wrath of God remains on them. Who? The ones he just said God so loved. So see, God can love the sinner. But the scripture says he's angry with the sinner all day long. See, his holiness and justice is saying what? I don't like what you're doing, and I'm going to judge you one day. And you better not play with my grace, and you better take my long suffering, you know, as me enduring you. Remember we read that last week. He said, but many of you get stubborn and harden yourself toward me. And he says, and you're storing up wrath for the day of judgment. It means what? Everything you did when you answered to me, you go to hell for. Every idle word. See, that's justice. People don't want to face the God of justice without Jesus, do they? It's going to be a horrible thing. But see, God is saying what? For he so loved the world, his intention is to redeem. But he said, I even create the wicked for the day of judgment. See, he didn't create them wicked. He's simply saying what? I'm the great economist. I don't waste anything. I will put everything in its place. And if man will rebel against me and will not serve me and repent, then I have prepared hell for him and the angels. But that wasn't my original plan. See, that's what God's saying is. But I've got a place for wicked people. So this is what God is saying. So they're called vessels of wrath. Anyone who's not a Christian is a vessel of wrath. It means they're under God's anger and displeasure. And one day his sin's going to call them an account before God. And he's going to answer to God at the day of judgment. You know, for his sins if he does not repent. So he's simply saying that that's what God did. He endured, it said, with long-suffering wicked people. And then with certain wicked people and nations, he got tired and he says, you know, I'm not going to extend no more grace, but I'm going to make an example of them so other people will know what I mean, that I mean business. And that's his right to do this. And then he says, I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. God extended mercy many times to his enemies and hopes again that they would repent and turn. And some did and some did not. Okay. So he's saying, but that he might make known his riches and his glory on the vessels of mercy. Now he's talking about the vessels of mercy, which he had prepared beforehand for glory. And he says, even us, whom he called, not of the Jews only, but also of the nations or the Gentiles. Okay, what did he prepare beforehand? What is he talking about? Vessels of mercy. Okay, go back to Romans 8. 29 and 30. Moreover, whom he predestined, planned ahead, selected, these he called to the gospel. Whom he called, he justified when they received the call. He justified them. Whom he justified, he glorifies. He will resurrect them one day. Okay? So this is what he's saying. Verse 29 says, he foreknew them. He predestined them. What? Before they were born individually? No. He's talking about the church. He's talking about the church. And what does he say? What did he predestine them to do? To be conformed to the image of his Son. That we would be brethren with Christ. He says this is what he predetermined. This is what he planned. He calls those the vessels of mercy. God chose before the foundation of the world to make a plan of salvation. It was going to be through Jesus Christ, and they were going to be vessels of mercy. That they were going to be able to come to the mercy seat because God was going to extend mercy. And he was going to say what? Whosoever will shall come. So if they come to Jesus, the vessels of wrath, they don't have to be vessels of wrath anymore. They can be vessels of mercy. And if those are vessels of mercy, spurn God and backslide and turn away from him, then they'll become vessels of wrath. He said, my Father will cut them off and cast them aside, and they'll be burned. So again, he's speaking in general terms that we can understand. We determine individually whether you're going to be a vessel of wrath or a vessel of mercy by how you respond to God. And God's going to react accordingly. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So the Jews kept hardening themselves as a nation toward God. And so that's why he's explaining in these chapters what God did to them, what he's doing to them, what he's going to do with them, and so forth. He's explaining that he has the right to do this. You know? And no one can say to God, why are you doing this? God will say, because I set up the rules. You're just the pawn in the chess game. You don't make up the rules of how the game's played. You just make sure you know the rules. God is the one who sets the rules. He is the one who says what? I will show mercy to whom I'll show mercy, and whom to whom I will, I'll harden. And that's for we to fear God and respect him, because he's already warned us through Old and New Testament scriptures the consequences of rejecting and hardening yourself toward God. And he's told us how to receive mercy. Okay, how to be vessels of mercy. Okay, so he says, even us whom he called, not of the Jews only, but also of the nations. So now he's talking about the church again. The church now, he's not talking about. See, he's rejected, we're going to see, Israel as a nation. Their covenants and their promises, they're forfeited. But we're going to see he didn't reject all of them. You know. But in doing so, we worked out ahead. The Gentiles were brought in to the church, and God looks at us as the church, and he doesn't look at Jews and Gentiles. See, under the Jewish covenant, the Jews were chosen and special, but they were the only faithful ones. But see, they proved faithless. Jews are not chosen people anymore. They go to hell just like Gentiles if they don't come through Jesus. The only special Jew is a Jew that accepts Jesus. And he ain't no better than you are if he comes to Jesus. See, that's what Paul's going to explain to us, that we'll understand more clearly what he's talking about. Okay, then he quotes Scripture to show us about the Gentiles being the vessels of mercy in the church. I will call them, Hosea says, I will call them my people who are not my people. Who was that? The other nations who were not Jews. I will call her beloved who was not beloved. And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people. There they will be called the sons of the living God. Well, the Jew did not understand this. The Jew was so special, they thought, that everybody had to come their way and had to become a Jew if you wouldn't get right with God. They were given promises and covenants. But then we see they forfeited this by their sin and rebellion. And they're fighting and killing Jesus and so forth. They forfeited this. And Paul's going to explain this further. So he's saying that God has included now in his church the Gentiles and Jews, anyone who will receive the message. He's not dealing with a special people anymore, a nation. He's not doing it. Okay? Give you an example who the people is he will call sons of the living God. They were never referred to under the Jewish covenant as covenant people. Who? Gentiles. The Jews called them dogs. The Jews looked down on Gentiles as outsiders. You know, you had to come their way. If you joined a tribe of Israel, you had to be circumcised and become a Jew. You had to become a proselyte. And still you were a second-hand citizen. They still sort of looked down on you like, you know, you still weren't all there. You know, and that's how they looked at people. But see, all of a sudden, God has cast them aside and snubbed them and said, the people you snubbed, I'm going to bring into my family. I'm going to kick you out because you were rebellious and you hardened yourself and I cut you off and threw you out. And that's what he did to the nation. He'll explain this further. Okay, to show us that he included the Gentiles as sons and daughters, which was unheard of, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. So you'll know who he's talking to. Look at verse 11. O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. Who's he talking to? Corinthian converts. These are Gentiles. These were not Jews. That's who he's talking to. Now go down to verse 17. Therefore, come out from among them, quote in the Old Testament, and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is impure, and I will receive you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Who's he talking to? Paul says this scripture was written to the church and to Gentiles, that they are brought into the family now. They have a different standing. The church has different privileges, higher privileges, the better covenant than the Jews had. Okay? And so now he comes back, and now he goes to Isaiah again, 27. And Isaiah cries out concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sands of the sea. It meant the offspring. But when we studied last week, even though they'd be as the sands of the sea, Paul said, but they weren't Jews in their heart. They were not of children of faith. They were not of Isaac and Jacob. Even though they were born Jews, they were not accepted by God unless they followed Him. See, we have the same thing today. We have multitudes of people saying, Lord, Lord, and call themselves Christians, but they're not. They don't meet the qualifications, and they're not submitted to the Lordship of Jesus. They're living their own life, but they're saying they're Christians. Same case. And God don't recognize them as His. And they're saying, Lord, Lord. So what does He say? Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sands of the sea, numberless, He means, a remnant will be saved. Only a few will be saved. And it's interesting that when they rejected God eventually, and even under the old covenant, they were not faithful. He's saying out of all the nations, very few Jews are going to be saved. And yet the covenants came through them. Even Jesus said to the Gentiles, and I mean, He said to the Jews, and they didn't like it. He said the same thing Paul said. He said, they shall come from the east and the west and the north and the south and sit in the kingdom of God. He meant the Gentile nations. And then He looked at the Jews and says, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness. The Jews knew what He was saying. He was saying, but you Jews will be cast into hell because you'll reject Me. And remember that that's the religious Jews were fighting Jesus constantly. And He told them they were children of Satan. And they kept saying, well, we're circumcised, we're Jews, we're sons of Abraham, the first Jew. He says, your father's the devil. See, Paul said what himself? He said, a Jew is not one outwardly, but inwardly. See, same as a Christian. A Christian's not someone who says, Lord, Lord. A Christian is someone who follows the Lord and obeys His word and gives up his life for the Lord. You know, it ain't someone who goes to church and gives a little money and runs and lives their own life. They're false Christians. Peter called them spots in your love feast. Angels of light, wolves in sheep's clothing. There are many names for them. But they'll say, Lord, Lord. And at the day of judgment, Jesus said He'd consign them to hell and curse them. Isn't that astounding? And yet they'll say they're Christians. So you got the same type of people. But He says, only a remnant. The word means a few, a small number. It's never used of Christians. There are no remnant Christians. You're either a true Christian or you're not a Christian. The word remnant is only used of Jews, and it's the faithful Jews, the true Jew. It's not used of sinning Jews and rebellious Jews. It's used of those who are faithful. We're going to see they're called the elect. We'll see who the elect are. What Jews are elect? We're going to see they're Christian Jews. They're people like Paul and Peter and John and those who accepted the message. Not the ones who reject it. They're cursed. The Jew who rejects Jesus is just as cursed as the Ethiopian who rejects Jesus or the Frenchman. He has no more standing. Every Jew in Israel who doesn't accept Jesus go to hell just like every Chinaman will. And every European and every American that doesn't accept Jesus. There ain't no special way. See? We live in the time when the church is what? Neither Jew nor Gentile. God has no special dealings with any individual group. Okay? Let's go back. For He will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness. He did that in Jesus Christ. Because the Lord will make a short work upon the earth when He's finished His dealings and His covenants. What's a few thousand years to God compared to eternity? And again, he quotes Isaiah, unless the Lord of Sabbath, the Lord of hosts, Jehovah of hosts, had left us a seed. Now, it's interesting how he uses the word seed here. We would have become like Sodom, and we would have become like Gomorrah. He's talking about the Jews, if he had not left us a seed. The scripture he's quoting uses the word remnant. If you want to, go there. Watch how it's quoted. Go over to Isaiah chapter 1. Look at verse 9. Unless Jehovah of hosts, the Lord of hosts, had left us a very small remnant. Now, isn't it interesting? Paul called it a seed. See, because last week it was in the seed. It was through Isaac and Jacob that were the people, the Jewish people of faith that were chosen, the remnant. Not the unbelieving Jews and the disobedient. So he said, what? Unless he had left us a very small remnant, we would have become like Sodom and we would have been made like Gomorrah. What happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? Not one of them lived. God rained fire down from heaven and killed them all. He did not let them go on. Lot was not of them. And he only got out with his two daughters. But God looked at the valley and they were so wicked and evil. And even when the two angels came to examine them, they wanted to rape the angels. The angels struck them with blindness and they still groped around the door. They're so driven by their lust. And the scripture says it was because Lot was righteous. And he said, get out. And whoever will go with you. And it's interesting, no one went with him. And he says, for we will destroy this place. God will call down vengeance. The scripture, Peter and Jude call it the vengeance of God as an example of God's wrath. What? The fire, eternal fire. He burned them all up. He did what? He stopped them from being aligned. He wouldn't let them exist forever. Their families ended. They were genocided by God. Isn't that interesting? He genocided them. And so what was he saying, Paul, here? Unless God had saved the remnant of the Jews, we would be the same way. You know? So he's saying, he's going to show us that even though God rejected the nation of Israel and turned them over to destruction, and most of them were put to the sword and sold into slavery, he did not make a full end of them. And later on, Paul will say, because I'm here, he'll show us that for the first 8 years, there was only Christian Jews. There were no Gentile Jews. All of the ones who were being converted were Jews. Being converted by Jewish apostles. But see, they were the remnant. Because they went in to the second covenant. The others did not. And he's going to explain this, how what happened to them, and why God chose them to be vessels of wrath after they were vessels of mercy. Okay. What shall we say then to these things is what he meant. He's going to explain some things. The nations, the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained to righteousness, the righteousness of faith. And that word righteousness of faith mentioned so often, it's faith in Jesus Christ and his covenant and his blood. So he's saying what? The nations got this. And they weren't even allowed the covenants of Israel under the old system. They were outsiders. They were second-rate citizens at the most. And he's saying all of a sudden, God has extended the righteousness of faith to these nations. Well, the Jews didn't like this. They still didn't like it. They didn't like it at Paul's time. We're going to see why they persecuted him. But he says, but Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. He puts that in to explain what he's talking about. He's saying, who were given the covenants and the law, and all of a sudden, why were they rejected by God? They were the people of promise. They were given privileges and promises, but all of a sudden, they didn't get it. And the people who weren't seeking got it. Okay? See, he's telling us something happened. God changed something because of the way they acted toward him. Okay, what he did was, when the Jews, the Pharisees, and the religious leaders kept resisting Jesus, spirit of blindness came on them. God said, I'll send them a lying spirit. I'll send them a deluding spirit. That's why Jesus taught in parables. He said, I don't want them to see. Stop their ears and blind them lest they see. See, they were so rebellious, they wanted to argue theology instead of getting their hearts right. And God don't play this game. He said, then I'll put the veil over them. And they couldn't see who Jesus was because they had perverted the law. How could they see Jesus? And yet Jesus, the Holy Spirit, would open himself up to the common people, and they recognized it. And Peter could say, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus would say, I didn't reveal that to you. My Father revealed that. But he didn't to the Jews, leaders. He hardened them because they kept rejecting his word. They've been working a long time. And then they eventually killed the Lord of glory. The nations, the national leaders of Israel, dragged him before Gentiles to have him put to death. And God said they were guilty for it. Jesus told Pilate, the Jews are more guilty than you because they turned me over to you. And when Jesus was going to the cross and he was carrying his cross and the women wept, he said, don't weep for me. Weep for yourselves and your children because God's going to take your peace from your city. And 40 years later, the nation of Israel was destroyed. Half a million of them were butchered. They lost their nation. And Jesus said it was because they didn't know that I visited them. It was God's punishment for rejecting their Messiah. And the law judged them. The law that they gloried in, God demanded the law to judge them, and it did. And they were still rejecting him. Okay, let's see how they're still fighting Paul. Go to Romans 3, back up to chapter 3. No, I'm sorry, Acts 13. You can go to Romans later. You'll see they not only killed Jesus, they kept opposing. Most of Paul's persecution was coming through Jews. The Jews did not like him preaching a Jewish message of the Old Covenant, mixing it with something new and offering it to the Gentiles. The Jews still considered Gentiles dogs, and they didn't want to have nothing to do with them. Look at 13:45-47. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, this is when Paul's preaching, they were filled with envy and contradicting and blaspheming. These were the same ones that stoned Stephen, that Stephen says, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost resisted them. And he hardened them and gave him a lion spirit. So he didn't change. He hardened them. Notice what he said. And they opposed the things spoken by Paul. What were they opposing? The message of Jesus Christ. The Jews still were fighting. See, they hadn't lost their nation yet. It was coming. It was coming. And notice what he says here. And Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first. See, we talked about that. Jesus told them, preach the gospel to all of the communities and towns in Israel. And wherever Paul went, he preached to the Jewish community outside of Jerusalem to make sure they heard the message that their leaders had rejected and had killed Jesus 20-some years before. See, because in the next decade, he's going to wipe Israel out. So he's still warning the Jews all around Rome, I'm going to give the message to you. God is still extending grace to Jews and offering them an opportunity. But see, these Jews kept fighting. It showed you what they were like. And they kept opposing the Word of God consistently. That's why Stephen says, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. Well, what happens when you keep resisting the Holy Ghost? It's called despising the Spirit of grace. It's called blaspheming the Spirit. There comes a place where God says, that's it. You're damned in hell and I'll never lift a finger for you. That's the horror when God does this. And he did it to him. He says, you're stiff-necked. You've always resisted God like your fathers did. That's why they stoned Stephen. They didn't like that. And Stephen was a Jew. He knew what to tell them. But notice what it says. They got bold. And he said, it was necessary that we preach to you first. But since you reject it, what were they rejecting? The gospel message under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. They were despising the Spirit of grace who was trying to save them and was trying to show grace to them. They were fighting him. And notice what he says. And you judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Well, that was a hard one, wasn't it? He was saying what? You've cursed yourself. You've rejected your means of salvation. See, they were still holding to the law. See, God had given them the spirit of blindness. The very law that they were holding on to was the one that was going to curse them at the day of judgment. They couldn't see. Their sin was blinding them more. And they kept fighting when God was still giving them opportunity. You know, and offering them a way out. They kept fighting and fighting his messengers. And so what does they say? Behold, we turn to the Gentiles. And he quotes a scripture, for the Lord has commanded us. It's Paul speaking. He quotes the Old Covenant. I have sent you to be a light to the Gentiles, and you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth. See, he's simply saying we are fulfilling scripture. That God foresaw that y'all would reject him as a nation, and he would reject you. And he would harden you, and he would cut you off, and he would start grafting others in to the church. But you as a nation, God's going to make an end of you for a long period of time until he's ready. And that's what he's been doing. And that's why he sent Titus to destroy Israel. 1.5 million Jews, over half of them were butchered by the Romans, and the other half, many of them were sent into slavery. And they never had their nation until, 40 years ago did God start to bring them back as a people group. And they're still not right with God. He's just fulfilling his prophecies until he's ready. See, that was the punishment on them. They didn't have to end that way. So it wasn't they just killed Jesus. They kept crucifying him. They kept persecuting his messengers. They kept doing this year in and year out. And 40 years later, God says what? That's enough. No more mercy. Now, you'll wait a while. I'll get rid of you for a while. I've got another plan. We talked about that last week. And so the clay was marred in the potter's hand. Israel refused to be molded. Israel refused to submit to God's deal. And so he clumped it and threw it down and says, I'll make something else. What did he make? The church. He said, I'll make something else then. See, that's what he's talking about. I have my plans and you're not going to stop them. And if you won't serve me, then I'll find someone who will. See, he gave the parable. Remember, he invited them to the feast. He's talking to the Jewish people. And remember, he sent his messengers out and says, I'm holding this feast. And they began to make excuses. You know, I can't come because I bought some land and I've got to go check it out. Well, what idiot would buy land without checking it out first? The other one said what? I've bought a yoke of oxen and I must go prove them. What idiot go buys it and then go checks it out? See, it meant there were lame excuses. The last one had a better point. He said, I've gotten married and therefore I can't come. You simply say, my wife rules me, so I can't come. And it says, and the master got angry. And he said, every one of them, he said, that I invited will not taste of my meal. He cut them off from grace. He said, they will never come. Then he said, go into the highways and hedges. The Gentiles, the maimed, the dogs, the ones that the Jews considered terrible, you know, not worth much. He said, then compel them to come in, because my table will be filled. But he says, but those who were first invited, he said, they shall not taste. And that's basically what God did to Israel. He said, no, they will not taste. They despised his grace and he hardened them and they became vessels of wrath. Okay. So again, he's simply telling them what has happened. 32. Okay, we say, back up to 31, Israel pursued the law of righteousness, has not attained to it. Why? He answers the question. Because they did not seek it by faith and trust in God's ways, but they sought it by the works of the law. Works of the law is basically added so you can understand. It just gives a clear meaning what he's talking about. They sought their righteousness through the law. And we found out, as Moses said, it couldn't happen. When Jesus came and fulfilled the law, they have to come through Jesus, and they chose not to, so the law judges them. It can't save them. And it never could deal with their sins, could it? See, they still hadn't caught it. They were saying, well, we're going to hold on to the old. And Paul's saying that it will damn you in the day of judgment, because there isn't no old. You better enter the new covenant now, because the old covenant has been fulfilled, and you can't go back to it. All the sacrifices won't do you any good anymore, because now you've been given the new covenant. It was a schoolmaster. It was temporary to show you who's coming. Now he's come. And if you rejected him, which they were doing, he was saying, then the law can't even do you any good. See, that's what he was telling them. Okay, that's where it says they could not obtain it because they didn't seek it by faith. And they stumbled at the stumbling block. Who? Jesus. Okay, now go back to Romans 3. They wanted to be justified by the law of Moses. Chapter 3 of Romans, we've been over it, 19 and 20. Now we know that whatever the law says, the law of Moses, this is what he's talking about, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may be guilty before God. He's telling the Jews, the law that you trust in simply tells you're a sinner and you're going to come under God's wrath if you don't accept the sacrifice, which is Jesus. And all of your animal sacrifices mean nothing if you don't have faith in the Lamb of God who took care of all of this. You're trusting in something that's not valid anymore. You're trusting in something that has been fulfilled. And therefore, the law and its symbols cannot help you anymore. See, that's what he's telling them. Verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified or be righteous in God's sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. So what was he telling the Jews who kept rejecting Jesus and the apostles? That law is going to damn you. Jesus came so the law would not judge you, and you're still holding on to the sword that's going to kill you. You're saying, well, we're not going to trust in Jesus. We're going to trust in our old way. And God is saying, then the law of Moses will damn you at the day of judgment. See, that's why he's saying it can't help you anymore. That was the whole message of Hebrews. The Christian Jews were being persecuted, and some of them thought if they went back to the law, they wouldn't suffer as much. And the Hebrew writer was saying, but you can't go back. There's nothing to go back to. It's death now. You know, it ain't even a schoolmaster in the way you're looking at it. That Jesus has come now to fulfill the law. And if you go back to the law, you have to crucify him again. You have to despise and blaspheme the Holy Spirit to do it. And then he warns what will happen to you if you do. So he's saying what? There's no going back. There's nothing to go back to. It has been taken care of. Okay. 33. As it is written, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. And whosoever believes on him will not be put to shame, will not stumble or be disappointed. What is he saying? Jesus became the stumbling block and the rock of offense to the Jews. When he came to fulfill the scriptures, they killed him. They destroyed him. They destroyed their means of salvation. They destroyed Jehovah the Lord that came to save them, that took on the human nature. Peter told them they killed the Lord of glory. And that's why their nation was lost and judged. They crucified their king. And God judged them for it. He said, I sent you prophets and priests and you killed some of them. And I thought, well, if I sent my son, you'll reverence him and you killed him. And he says, therefore I'll destroy you. And that's what he did. They cut off their means of salvation. And so that's why the gospel too is called a message of offense. It's called the message of death. See, when the gospel's preached to people and they reject it, it ministers death to them. See, instead of giving them life because they don't accept the message, it ministers the law to them. It says, then because you will not come through Jesus, you will be damned in the day of judgment. Because that's what it says. And you will answer for all of your sins because you've rejected your means of salvation. So that's what conviction does. When the Holy Spirit convicts, he takes the law and disturbs people and tells them they're sinners. And you're under God's wrath, and here's what you do about it. The law can't redeem you. It can't save you. It can only point you to the Savior. And see, the Jew would not listen. And they fought Jesus over this, and they killed him. And they were destroyed for it. And they were cut off as a nation. God destroyed them. Okay? Chapter 10, verse 1. It's a continuing thought. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for Israel, and that's the implication, is that they might be saved. He's saying as a whole, they're lost. He knew Israel. He knew all the Jews as a whole were lost. They were persecuting him. Everywhere he went, the Jews were the ones who stirred up persecution. He had to hide in baskets and flee Jerusalem at times because they're trying to kill him. He was considered a traitor because he was their most greatest persecutor of the Christians, and then he became a Christian. It was such an insult to them. Why, he was a Democrat and became a Republican. They didn't like that. See? And so they turned on him. And not only did he become a Republican, he became president. You can see the insult it would be. See, that's basically how they looked at him, as a traitor. Okay. And so he says what? He says, I'm still praying for him. And he's going to show us that God hasn't cut them all off. He sent, and later on he'll say, because I'm saved. He didn't cut every Jew off. He cut most of them off as a nation. He simply said, what? I'm not dealing with them as a chosen people anymore. They've been laid aside. I've got the church as the holy nation now. They're the people. They're the royal priesthood. It ain't no national identity. That's why Paul, he said, there is neither Jew nor Gentile in Christ. There's neither male nor female. Bond or slave. He's simply saying it's a spiritual kingdom. And God don't look down at you. He don't care if you're Chinese, Japanese, Spanish, French. It don't mean nothing to him. He don't look at things that way. He looks at the heart and the spiritual things. And his nations are different. It's a holy nation. See? So he's dealing differently now. And the Jews have no special standing with God. If anything, they're still under his wrath and being persecuted because they kept rejecting him. Okay? And so he says what? For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. So they're zealous. Well, even Jesus commended the Jews, didn't he? He says, you'll go to the ends of the earth to make one proselyte. And yet that proselyte would never be considered an equal Jew. But he says, you'll go to the ends of the earth to convert one, and then you'll make him twice the hell you are. Now, I didn't say that. Jesus told him that. He commended their zeal. A lot of religious people are zealous. A lot of people are sincere and zealous, and they're on their way to hell. A lot of false Christianity and false teachers and prophets are very zealous. But it's not according to truth. And if it's not according to truth, they're going to hell. So I don't doubt many people's sincerity. Like I say, Hitler was very sincere when he killed 6 million Jews, but it didn't save him, did it? Stalin was very sincere when he killed 30 million of his own people. Monster. Sincerity in itself means nothing. You know, many people will tell you, it don't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. Well, they're in hell. Because Jesus at the day of judgment is going to say, but you had to be sincere in truth, and you aren't. Sincerity means nothing if it's not according to truth. Jews were sincere when they killed Jesus. Even Peter said, had they known he was the Lord of glory, they would not have killed him. Why didn't they know? Because they had perverted the law, and they couldn't see Jesus in the law, and it said they thought they were doing God a favor by killing him. Well, they'd do the same with you and I. If you live Christianity, professing Christians are going to persecute you and call you a fanatic and narrow-minded, because, see, their understanding of Scripture is perverse. And your brand of Christianity is going to make them uncomfortable. Because the narrow way is uncomfortable for religious people. So they want you to leave them alone and say they're okay when they're not okay. But see, the Jew was sincere when they crucified Jesus. Peter said, you killed the Lord of glory. They didn't know that. But that did not excuse them. Their sin caused them to be deceived. And Jesus said that would happen. You reject the truth and you reject God's dealings, you'll be given over to more lion spirits. And the Scripture says you'll even kill God's people and think you're doing God a favor. Well, that's what they did. Can you imagine the horror when people stand before God and think they're Christian martyrs? And he says, but you're a devil. You're a child of the devil. I'm sending you to hell. That's what's going to happen to many, many religious people that don't know the Lord but have religion. Okay, so what does he say? I know they have zeal for God, but not according to knowledge, true spiritual knowledge. They don't know Jesus. They're fighting him. And being ignorant of God's righteousness, they seek to establish their own righteousness and have not submitted to the righteousness of God. What did they do? They said, we're going to stick with the law, hell or high water. And God says, well, it's hell. We're going to stick with the law, and we're not going to accept Jesus' way. And he's not our Messiah, and we're not going to accept him. So what did they do? They stumbled over their salvation. The very means to save them, they cast aside. So that's what it means. And what did Jesus say? And whomsoever shall fall on this rock himself, this stone, shall be broken. They shall come to me, and I'll receive them, and will not cast them out. He said, but whomsoever this rock shall fall, it shall grind them to pieces. He means it'll tear them into hell. That's what his wrath's going to do to them. And that's what he did to the Jews. Destroyed the whole nation. He said, because you did not know that I was your salvation. Peter said, you killed the Lord of glory. He told it what it was like. The Prince of Life you killed. You killed your means of salvation. This equivalent of you being in a raft. And here comes a rescue boat. And you shoot it with a bazooka and blow it out of the water. That's what they did. And then the sharks ate them. Okay, let's take a break.